David, I think it's a great idea to get a cut out of yourself this year, but we've also told you you can't have your whiskey bottle in the shop this year.
Sure I can. Anyway, hey, Chad, did you get the basket of fruit I sent you?
David, we're not going to talk about that. We've had a slight delay in our podcasts. I am back. I'm healthy. Thank you to everybody that sent me good wishes.
Chad, did you get the basket of fruit I sent you earlier in the week?
This is Hoops HD, our continuing podcast previewing the 2020-2021 season. Tonight we are doing our Big 12 podcast. It is Thursday, November 19th. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up here by David Griggs, who tried to kill me this week. Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org back with us. Down on the second row, we have John Slica and John Tytel. And we are here to discuss Big 12. Obviously, there are games being canceled left and right already. This season is less than a week away from starting, but who knows what games will be played. We're going to do, at least for this podcast, is look at these teams, look at what they are on paper, assume that they each get enough games in to qualify for the NCAA tournament, and say who's going to be the best teams in these conferences and who's going to win them. So right on that note, starting off with the Big 12, let's take a look at the preseason top 25, actually, where half of this conference is ranked in the top 25, coming in the very top at number two in the nation. Rocco, let me start with you here. The Baylor Bears just missed out on being the number one team in the nation preseason.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that what the media is thinking there is it is a team that's got the majority of their scoring back, that just the best regular season in school history last year, were ranked number one at different points of last season, had very few hiccups. You know, Scott Drew, coaching job of his life, and now the band's back together for the most part. So, you know, all the preseason accolades I think Baylor's getting is well-earned. Now they got to get back on the court and prove it. And I think, you know, going forward, they're going to certainly belong in the top 10, in my opinion, as well. I think it'll be really interesting to see, you know, losing Gillespie. They lose Bandu, who was a really big spark plug, sixth man off the bench. I think he was sixth man of the year last year in the Big 12. And now they lose Tristan Clark, a guy who they were really hopeful to get back. It's not as big of a shoe-in as we might have thought a month ago. And but certainly a safe tournament team, probably a safe protected seed, and right in the running for the Big 12 title.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention Tristan Clark. I really hated to see that. He was not much of a contributor last year, plagued by injuries, but the year before, he was one of their better players, and he was one of the guys that's like, Jesus Christ, as good as they were this year, with him coming back, they might be number one. They're still very, very good without him, but I kind of hate for him that he's not going to be able to keep playing.
Yeah, go ahead, Salika.
I was going to say, let's also keep in mind, this was the first year that Baylor not only got to number one, but was actually able to be number one for, I think, seven straight weeks before they finally lost to Kansas at home.
Yeah.
Tytel, about this Baylor team, Gillespie is gone. He averaged almost a double-double last year, so that is a big loss. But they do bring in a guy, a former Big South Rookie of the Year, Adam Flagler. Do you think he can help out there?
Yeah, there's no pressure on him at all with a backcourt including Macy O'Teague and Jared Butler. The other good news is he's proven that he can score not just in the regular season but in the postseason. They played Marshall when he was at Presbyterian in the CIT a couple of years ago, 18 points against a decent little team in the herd. So I think he will play and contribute.
Okay. Let me go to you here next, because the second – rated team in the AP preseason top 25. No surprise here. They're normally rated up the top rated team for the Big 12. It's the Kansas Jayhawks. We're number six. So what are your thoughts about this Jayhawks team coming in this year after a 28-3 and another first place finish last year?
Another first place finish, and we're also going to see Iduka Azubuike move on, but the Jayhawks are going to have their usual cadre of McDonald's All-Americans, but they're also going to be racing against the clock this year with the NCAA investigation going on with a special committee. So there will be that in the background, but I still would not be betting against the Jayhawks for the regular season at least.
Yeah, Rocco, they also lose Devin Dotson, who was 18 points a game. Silvio D'Souza is gone, and that might be a blessing in disguise, though.
Yeah, especially if you're a Kansas State player, it certainly is, right? But yeah, I think this Jayhawks team is you know, they're top 10 by most people out there and by the AP, I believe, but maybe even overlooked just because of all the attention Baylor's getting to a slight degree. I don't know that the investigation hanging over their head, I should say, is going to be as big of a distraction as one might think. They've been dealing with this for over a year now, and I think they've just kind of figured out how to deal with it. Bryce Thompson comes in as an elite scorer, McDonald's All-American. You know, Bill Self's been able to bring in McDonald's players with regularity. And Grant Foster, the junior they bring in, is got all sorts of accolades as well to mix in with guys like Marcus Garrett, who's already an all Big 12 type of player. You got McCormick back, Akbaji back, and a really deep bench. So, I actually think the Jayhawks, unless there's multiple busts on this roster, should actually be the favorite from what I'm seeing.
Which is kind of going out on a limb there, Rocco. I mean, like, you know, a team like Kansas that kind of lays in the weed.
They never win this conference.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, Tytel, you mentioned Bryce Thompson. Kid's going to be a one and done. Is that what we're looking at here? Is this a person we're going to be talking about in the NBA draft, which we just had last night, next year?
Perhaps. I'll save my draft stock for the Big 12 rookies when we head to Oklahoma State. But, no, Thompson's good, and after losing so much talent, he'll get a chance to step in immediately, unlike a lot of times when guys come to Kansas and they have, like, their starting five intact from the year before, and the guy's just going to be a sixth man. I think Thompson can also pull a Flagler, as it were, and contribute immediately.
Right. Tata, let me stick with you here. The next team up in the top 25 rating coming in at number 14 is Chris Beard's Red Raiders in Texas Tech. You just can't overlook this team any year now since Chris Beard has been here, can you?
He's really an amazing coach. Like, I wanted to hate him after he took the job at UNLV and then bailed on them, frankly. But two-time conference coach of the year. He's only been there 4 years. And it's not just recruiting by bringing guys like Jamias Ramsey, who was a draft prospect this year, but the transfers this year is ridiculous. Marco Santos Silva from BCU, Mac McClung from right here in D.C. with Georgetown, Jamarius Burton from Wichita State. Like, he's bringing them in, and he's got them going. I think that they well-deserved top 25 ranking.
Yeah, Rocco, you've also got a couple big-time freshmen here in Burnett and Golden. There's a lot of talent here.
There is, yeah. I mean, it's almost like too much. It's a little overwhelming when you look at it on paper. But, you know, Coach Beard, especially by February and March, is going to figure out where all the pieces fit and have this team playing at a high level. And I think, you know, they're even more dangerous towards the end of the season. Who knows what happens here in these first couple of months, but I think they'll be just fine towards the end. And if they end up being like anywhere between a 4 and a 6 seed, you don't want to be in their region. I mean, even if a couple of these guys go down, you got plenty of depth behind them. So they're set up very well.
They might end up being much, much better than that. It seems almost ridiculous what Texas Tech has done. And I know we have a little bit of a following, or Chad does in Lubbock anyway. Yeah. But like every year, it seems like when you look at Texas Tech, you're like, oh my God, look at what they lost from a year ago. And they're relying on these newcomers and these transfers that, while good, are not top 10 good. And then all of a sudden Texas Tech is a top 10 team. Last year they were in the rankings and it was sort of a down year. Now that he's got players that do look good, how good are they going to be? This is a team that almost won the national title game 2 years ago after beginning the year unranked. And you know, it's just what he does with, I know this is kind of ridiculous to say because he does get a lot of accolades. Chris Beard is grossly underrated and underappreciated on a national level. He's one of the best coaches in the country.
Can I disagree with you one bit on that, David? And you know how much I love to disagree with you. I would have to say that, you know, with all these transfers and newcomers coming in and no preseason at all and shortened practice time, and the fact that there's very few non-conference games this year, it's going to be interesting to see how well of a job he does pulling this whole team together in time for conference play. Yeah. And that's the only real concern I have in this next Texas Tech team. But if they come out of the gate and they're firing as one right from the start, I mean, we could have a real three-way battle at the top of the Big 12, even. That's how much talent I think this team has.
Yeah, they do.
Stalica, right behind Texas Tech in the national rankings at number 15 is Bob Huggins' West Virginia Mountaineers. What about West Virginia this season?
Well, a couple of years ago, West Virginia had an un-Huggins-like year as far as a losing record. But last year, they rebounded quite nicely thanks to guys like Jordan Culver and Miles McBride, who's actually the son of former Xavier standout Walt McBride. So you're getting a couple of guys who will also fit into Huggins' Press Virginia system right here. And they're going to probably not be a national title contender like Kansas, Baylor, and Texas Tech, but this is certainly a team that could be competing to play in the second weekend of what we hope will be an NCAA tournament this year.
Well,
if they're lucky, they're going to get placed in the Indianapolis region.
Tytel, though, if you're looking at the question of guys who could play together, this is a team that's bringing six out of their top seven players back from last year. These guys know how to play together, and they got a hell of a front court, I think.
They do have a former McDonald's All-American Oscar Tshiebwe, who's great. They also have a bunch of front court players, like you said, Gabe Osabuon, who transferred from Arkansas, Emmett Matthews, who had 21 points in the CBI a couple of years ago, Derek Culver, who had a suspension in the past but has gotten over it. If I can just do also a quick note on Huggins, he goes underappreciated, like Chris Beard, because he's never won at all. But just to remind people of how many wins this guy has, last year he passed Adolph Rupp and Dean Smith, and if he gets 22 this year, he's going to pass Bob Knight. Like, he is an all-time Hall of Fame caliber legendary coach. I wish he would win one. I don't think it's going to be this year, but he's piled up the wins for 38 years.
Yeah, and he's done it at programs that he kind of had to resurrect when he got there. I know Cincinnati, he was there for I don't know how many years, but most people probably don't remember this because of how good they were during most of his tenure, but they were awful when he arrived. And West Virginia was nowhere near what they are now.
Was 16 seasons at Cincinnati.
Yeah. I knew Stalica would know that.
Rocco, we had one other top 25 team in the Big 12 we haven't discussed yet, which if there ever was a year for Shaka Smart to finally get things rolling in Texas, every scholarship player from last year is back. And by the way, they added potential Big 12 Rookie of the Year, Greg Brown. How good is this Texas team? And can Shaka finally get things rolling?
Ooh, that's the million-dollar question, Chad. I think the sky's the limit for this team. Like you're saying, you see the majority of the team back, and then you throw in a big-time top 10 recruit like Greg Brown into the mix. 6'9", force, total athlete. He's going to be able to make the defense and offense much improved from last year potentially. But beyond that, you know, Texas has had their struggles over the years under Shaka, including last year, flirting with the bubble most of the last couple of years. And I don't know if that's enough, quite frankly, for them to get all the way up to the top. They certainly have the potential. One thing I am concerned about as well is they've had a top 25 defense in the last few years, and now Luke Yaklich moves on and takes the UIC job, and so, you know, is their defense going to take a step backwards without his expertise there? That remains to be seen. I also have a little bit of concern with Andrew Jones. You know, he's a leukemia survivor, and he has a lot of concerns playing through COVID. Is he going to be able to make it through the season with everything he has going on? So there are some question marks just a little bit off the court, but I think what you're seeing here on paper is the potential of a strong team, and they could really take a jump up if things come together.
And if things don't come together, David, this is the end of the Shaka era.
It might be, and I hate to say that. I do think Shaka is an outstanding coach. I think he's much better than like what his results have shown at Texas. And if they stick with him, I do think he'll get it there eventually. But it is a results-oriented business. They hired him to make tournaments, get into the rankings, get to the second weekend. Hasn't really done that yet. A little bit inexplicably why it hasn't happened. I mean, I think we all expected him to have it going by now. But this might be the year it finally does.
Tytel, the Oklahoma Sooners seem to always be on or near the bubble every year. Are they heading back there this year?
Yes, I think that's fair. The schedule looks pretty brutal. They have Florida and Xavier in early December, so we're going to see very soon on how good they are. I like that they have a senior presence and Brady Manick at the post and Austin Reeves from the outside who transferred to Wichita State, so some nice pieces there. Elijah Harkless in the backcourt as well. I love Coach Kruger. All he does is take different teams to the NCAA tourney every year. So I have them inside the bubble right now. I think they're going to make it.
I have not heard for certain that Harkless got the waiver to play. I assume he did because he will at least because everyone else did. I know that Logan Gibson coming over from Texas did get the waiver. He did.
Yeah.
Harkless did get the waiver also.
Oh, no, I don't think they've decided yet, but I would anticipate that he will.
Yep. Now, one of the interesting things about Oklahoma we just mentioned, outside of their top players, everyone else on their bench has a grand total of 36 minutes logged in a Sooner uniform. So you're going to have a nice core of players, but there's also going to be quite a bit of reloading that's going to be going on for OU this year.
Yeah, that's why I think you need some of these transfers like Harkless and Gibson to come in and have good seasons. And you talk about bringing guys in from North Texas and Cal State Northridge, you know, can they play at the Big 12 level?
Good question.
Rocco, how about TCU? Did they have a shot at making the tournament?
Oh, no. Boy.
I mean, it's hard to put them in the tournament at this point. I don't want to doubt Jamie Dixon's coaching ability. He can make some average teams into good teams and put them in the tournament conversation. So I don't want to put that past Coach Dixon. But right now on paper, they've got a roster where, you know, they're depending on the guy, Kevin Easley, who sat out last year, transferred from Chattanooga. He was the player of the year in the SoCon for freshman player of the year in the SoCon 2 years ago. But can he make that leap into a power conference and one of the best conferences, the Big 12? That's a big ask. I think Kevin Samuel showed a lot of good things last year. I think PJ Fuller is a guy from Seattle. I've followed him since high school. He's got uber potential. They'll need him to, I think, bust out a little bit. They have an Argentinian point guard that got some experience, Farabello last year, and RJ Nemhard's the other guy. So, I mean, all these guys have been playing together for over a year, at least in practice, if you factor in Easley. Charles O'Bannon comes over from USC. So they're a little bit of a mystery team, but there's not like that, you know, five-star All-American guy or two or three like you see at the top of this league. So it really is going to take a patchwork job by Coach Dixon and gut out some victories for them to get to the top half of the conference. I don't see it quite yet.
Well, I would note that O'Bannon was a five-star recruit when he went into USC. Good I don't point. Know that he's quite five-star anymore. Yeah.
It's been 4 years now.
Yeah, Mike Miles, a freshman guard who they like they're pretty high yes. on as well coming into there at TCU though. David, they're not going to be eligible for the tournament this year unless their appeal gets granted. But what about the Oklahoma State Cowboys in terms of the way that they are actually going to play this season? They are on probation as of the moment, at least though.
You know, they're on probation and they're sort of going through a roster overhaul, maybe not, maybe not because they're on probation, but I don't think they're going to be very good.
Well, I'm going to let Tytel take them then because I think there's a player on them that's going to be a ton of fun to watch.
Cade Cunningham could be the number one pick in the 2021 draft. All I've heard is nothing but good stuff about him. I think he might even be getting some All-American love, even though he hasn't played a single minute of college basketball. Big point guard. He can score. He can do everything. We'll see, obviously. And I think if there's any year for freshmen to struggle, it's this year, like you said, with the lack of practice time and playing together as a team. But he seems as much of a can't-miss prospect as anybody in the sport.
Slika, how about Iowa State? You see anything there?
If it were a couple years ago, I'd be more bullish on the Cyclones right now. But if the highlight of the offseason is going to be Jalen Coleman Lands transferring in from DePaul as a grad transfer, that's probably not going to be a good sign for Steve Prohm's team this year.
And they were supposed to get Blake Hinson coming in from Ole Miss, but he has opted not to play this. But he's not going to be able to play. It's a medical reason. So yeah. That really hurts to the extent that there was anything here. So, Dave, we're left with Javon Johnson coming from Troy. I'm right. not high on this team.
Yeah, and this was a program that was as healthy as anyone in the conference, minus maybe Kansas. And, God, they in just a couple of short years. They have just bottomed out. And do they have a path to get back to, you know, kind of what we were seeing and or used to seeing up until about 2 years ago?
Rocco, Kansas State's in this conference too, right?
I believe so. Yeah, they fell apart after that run to the Elite Eight last year. Yeah, Chad, I don't see much tournament talk for the Wildcats this year.
I'll read you my note here on them. They were the last place team, and they did not return a single double-digit score. That was my note.
That is correct.
At K-State.
They're going to be very, very heavily lenient on freshman Nigel Pack, I believe, and I think you know, there's just not many pieces to work with. A lot of young pieces. I think it's going to bode well for, you know, 2-3 years down the road if Weber hangs on long enough. But if you just look at the metrics, like, they were 177 in KenPom offense last year. You're not, if you look at the teams that were at large bid caliber, you're not going to get it. You're not going to be a tournament team if you can't sniff the top 100. So they just have too much to improve offensively. Plus they lost, you know, guys like Snead and Diarra, and it's just not going to happen this year.
I was kind of excited about them last year. I thought that they would be better than what they were. Well, better than last, which isn't saying much, but this team is – oh, boy.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do at this point, though, is let's go through each of us now at this point. I want to ask you two questions, actually three questions. Number one, who is going to win the conference? Number two, how many bids does the league get? And number three, do you have any other final thoughts on the Big 12? And Sleek, let me start with you.
I'm going to go ahead and say for sure 5 teams get in. If everything goes right, they could probably get Oklahoma as team number 6 here. And I guess if I wanted to add any other, well, I'm going to say Kansas go ahead and win the conference. But if I want to go for a final thought, I'm going to go back to Oklahoma because Billy Tubbs, their longtime coach, had also passed away during the offseason. Tubbs had some great teams in the mid to late 1980s, had guys like Wayman Tisdale, Stacey King, and Mookie Blaylock go to that program. Yeah.
Went to a couple Final Fours.
One of my favorite moments would have been after one of their bye games when they had beaten someone by 90, and he would ask the same coach, "Can you guys meet us again next year?" He could be a bit of a character.
Tytel, how about you?
If Stalika is setting the over-under at 5, I'm taking the over. I think that we can see 6 teams from this conference. As far as a champ, I think that, like you said, there's a 3-headed monster to pick from in Baylor, Kansas, and Texas Tech. I'm going to go out on a limb and go with Chris Beard because when you look at the early tests, Baylor plays ASU next Wednesday, Kansas plays Gonzaga next Thursday. Texas Tech eases into things with Northwestern State, so I think that'll give them time to adjust. And my fun fact, we heard earlier Rocco mention Andrew Young at Texas. Excuse me, Andrew Jones. This kid has been around a while and overcome leukemia, a wrist fracture, a toe fracture. Like, he's broken, but he's healing. And I understand about the COVID thing. That's a very good point. But if we can get him on the court, I want to see it because this is a guy, he was a McDonald's All-American in 2016. To give you an idea of how long ago that was, 2 of his teammates on the East squad were Jason Tatum and Bam Adebayo, who are now fighting in the Eastern Conference Finals every year. To think that 4 years ago he was on their level, and now he's only a redshirt junior while they're like established NBA pros. I wish nothing but the best for Andrew Jones, and if you need somebody to cheer for this season, he's your guy.
That's a great point, and I definitely got to cheer for him no matter what, whether you like Texas Tech or not. Rocco.
Yeah, I'll take Kansas as the champion. I think I hinted at that earlier. For bids, I think as it stands today, it's 6. However, we'll see how Oklahoma State plays out with their appeal. They end up getting their appeal. I would still say 6.5 because I think they're right. They would be right on the cutoff for on paper right now. So let's call it 6.25 just for fun. And then the last piece, just some final thoughts on Texas Tech. You know, we didn't dig in too much to the freshman class, but Najee Burnett's the first McDonald's All-American they've ever had, and we're barely even talking about him. That's how loaded this roster is. You also got Micah Peavy coming in, and Coach Beard's just been singing his praises like crazy in the preseason. Said he's the most mature player he's ever come in for a freshman season, and he expects him to be ready from day one. Just to go along with guys like Santos Silva, et cetera. You know, I think Texas Tech, I did kind of say if they started slow, maybe 4-6 seed, but I did not want to misrepresent that. They are capable of working all the way to the one line if everything comes together quickly.
Very quickly, Andrew Jones, who I was just discussing, obviously plays for Texas, not Texas Tech. I think I slipped up there in a comment. I apologize for that. And second of all, I note that my pick is going to be Baylor to win this conference. And I'm going to go with the preseason top 25. I'm also going to go with, six bids. And I think that if there is going to be a 6.5, a seventh potential team there, I'll keep an eye on TCU as my long shot dark horse team here. Not
that, is a dark horse.
That they like could it. Be on the bubble at the end of the year. Just keep an eye on them. But David, why don't you finish us off?
Well, I thought coming into the show today that I would be the only one to pick Texas Tech to win the league. And it turns out I'm one of three. I'm going with Texas Tech basically for everything that's already been said. When you look at Chris Beard, you know, 2 years ago, national runner up, you know, after starting off unranked, way exceeded expectations. And then they had a step back last year. And Chad, I got to wonder, you kind of have your finger on the pulse of Lubbock. Is Chris Beard on the hot seat? Is he entering a year where he really needs to perform here?
18-13 last year. It was very disappointing.
Yeah. I could see Texas Tech. They're my pick to win the league. As good as people think they're going to be, I think they're going to be even better. Six teams.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess on that note, I do want to take a chance to thank everybody for joining us. If you want to check out the rest of our podcast, go right up to the top there. There is a link for our this season previews, as all of Tytel's great interviews, write-ups on a lot of the conferences, and all the podcasts that we've recorded so far. Plus the rest of ones we're going to get to in the course of the next weekend.
Yeah, we're going to be doing about 10 in the next 2 days, I think.
on behalf, though, of David Griggs, Rocco Miller, TrackAbout at Rocketeer.org, John Slica, and John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.